This evening we'll be studying together Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Please turn there with me. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray quickly one more time. We ask, Lord, that you would open your word to us by your Spirit. Help us to understand the things that are deep truths you've buried in this text for thousands of years, Lord, so that those who read them would be blessed. And we pray that you would give us insight, that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say to each of us with words you've been using to comfort those who follow you for thousands of years. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a unique experience this past week. It was the end of the day. I was getting ready to go home. I had lots on my mind, and I was getting ready to shut everything down for the day and go home and see my beautiful daughter and wife. And into my door in my office stepped one of my coworkers. She's a superior. I hadn't seen her for a while, but I knew that she had been missing time because she had lost her father recently. And she's young. She's probably 40, I would say, maybe early 40s. And so her father obviously was a very young man. I would guess maybe early 60s. And, I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she just, trying to fight back tears, she said, "Not good." And broke my heart. She was coming to say thank you for a card that we had sent as a department to her to offer comfort to her when she had was going through this time losing her father. And what she had for me was questions. She wanted to know what I thought about her father and what happened to him. And he had a lot of struggle at the time of his death. And did that have meaning about whether he was going to heaven or not? And what do you think about someone who had all these questions for me? She was obviously in distress, and she told me her whole family was in turmoil during this time, and her mom was hopeless and just thought this life had nothing to offer, and where is God, and how could this happen, and why is he going first, and why so early, and why so suddenly? And I could sense radiating out of her from her words and her body language and her tears, just distress. She was absolutely distressed. And what she wanted was comfort. She wanted help. She wanted answers in a time of difficulty and trouble. It brought home to me just the reality, a bit of a wake-up call, as I was at the end of my day kind of going through the motions, that life comes at you very fast, and you never know exactly when you're going to be confronted with distressing things, and you're absolutely unprepared for them. For my coworker, it was the passing of her father. For me, it was just experiencing that hurt walking in my door at 4:25, totally unprepared to deal with the burdens and the questions and the unknowns that she brought to me. And it reminded me that while I was thinking of the place I was going, be home with my family and the enjoyment of a supper and being done for the day, the reality was in my lap, in the chair across from me at my desk, was the reality of this world, which is we live in a city of distress. We live in a time and a place where all around us, we ourselves experience struggle and toil and trouble. And those around us, whether they talk to us about it or not, are experiencing the very same thing. Tonight, I want to look together with you at Psalm 121, which is one of the series of the Psalms of Ascent, which is a collection of songs. Common understanding is that the people of Israel would sing these as they would ascend from the different parts of the land of Israel up to the temple to worship the Lord. And so there's this flow in them of beginning in the depths and moving towards a place where they're going to meet the Lord, where there is comfort, where there is hope, where there are answers, where there is protection and joy and happiness. But they don't start there at the top. They start down in the depths, down at the bottom. And Psalm 121 has been a blessing to me in my own life. To understand it best, I think I prefer to read Psalm 120 first. So if you'll bear with me, let's read Psalm 120. Psalm 120, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. You see the setup here, right? The progression from a place, a city of distress where the people are all about violence and their tongues speak deceit and lies, and he wants to move on from there. I'm in this place where when I speak for peace and I want peace, everyone around me just wants violence. They want to pick a fight. They don't want to play nice. And so often in the Christian life, I think that's how we feel. We want to be at peace with all men. We even want to be at peace with those in the church. We want to be at peace with those in our family, with our husbands, our wives, our kids. Heck, I want to be at peace with my own self, with the Spirit of the Lord within me. And what are we met with so often is conflict, distress, deceit, violence, right? Lack of harmony in our relationships, lack of peace between us and those that we care about and those that we love. And Psalm 121 takes us from that place to a new place, a place of comfort. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? So this is, you could picture somebody walking to Jerusalem from the lower parts and looking up to the hills, okay? Now this seems very poetic. We think like the sound of music, right? The hills are alive. Not exactly. Okay, the hills in this day would have probably represented something very different. You go up in the hills and it's very likely you could encounter trouble because that's where the bad guys hid, among the rocks in the hills. Okay? So it's very possible around the next bend, around that pass, there are bad guys waiting for me. As I'm trying to make my way peaceably to Jerusalem, I just want to go worship. I want to be with the Lord. I want to leave behind the worries and cares of the city of distress. And I want to go to a place of comfort and peace. I want to worship the Lord. But there's all kinds of potential for me to encounter trouble along the way. Now, the question comes, and it's the same question that my coworker asked me in my office, is from where does my help come? Where can I find comfort? Where can I find answers? Where can I find help in this world of people who want to tell me lies? In the ancient Near East, back in Israel, back in the day, another thing that they often associated with the hills would be the places where idols were put up. The high places, right? They would put up their gods or their idols or their places of worship for false gods. And so it's also very possible that someone making the journey up to Jerusalem to worship would have been thinking, what is going to get me there through all of this trouble? And would have seen what other people would have said, this is the answer. So in other words, looking to the hills, I see, well, that could be a threat. And right around that bend could be someone wanting to prevent me from getting safely where I'm going, whether to worship, wanting to cause me harm. And right next to it is a pole set up to a false god saying, this is a god and this is supposed to keep me safe. To me, a picture of that I see in my own life, I drive about 10 feet out of my house, turn on Main Street, and already I've got poles and altars and different things on high places lifted up to what I consider to be the gods of our age, the gods of our world. Billboards, right? Flashing signs. Get free this. Enjoy a bazillion channels for only $19.99 a month. Elect this person and everything will be fine. Big golden arches. There's pleasure to be found here. Just chew your sorrows away. There's a pub. There's a tanning salon. There's a smoke shop. There are like, I walked to church recently and I passed 6 pizza places. I can tell where I am from my house to church based on whether I'm smelling Domino's, Massey's, Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, and that other one. And then there's another one. All of these set up, all these things that our culture wants to give us to satisfy our appetites, our hungers, our doubts, our fears, our desires for pleasure, our desires for answers. Our souls want something, right? And the gods that this world offers so often are people, things, wealth, security. I pass lots of banks, right, promising that if I just give them X amount a month, they will give me X amount in return, and if bad things happen, I'll be fine, because I'm paid up. You could joke, my wife is better off with me dead, because she would have a lot more money, right? And if that's all that brings me comfort, that's not it. I mean, that's not going to be enough. If having a plate full of pizza is what's supposed to make me feel better and get the serotonin up so I don't feel so bad, if that's all this world can promise me, I'm going to be disappointed. We want to look after things and pleasures and promises that this world offers to us for satisfaction and happiness and protection. We want to acquire things that we think are going to keep us from something, keep us from being hungry, keep us from being out in the cold, keep us from being unemployed, or keep us from being going down the toilet as a nation. All of these things that we are looking for things to keep us. And we want to hold on to those as if they promise us something lasting. But they're superficial. They're trendy, right? Or they last about 10 minutes and then you're like, I'm never eating another slice again. What we need is not something that is fleeting. We need a God who is eternal. So, I prefer the psalmist's approach. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the picture in my mind, this is my picture. I don't know if you've ever done this. If you look out at a mountain, am I on? This is on, right? So I can walk away from this. You look up at a mountain, and the beautiful thing to me about a mountain, or a couple beautiful things, you look up and you see this immovable mass of rock that's not going anywhere. Boom, here. And right above it is beautiful sky, right? Resplendent. Maybe it's the shining sun, or maybe it's the clouds with all of their colors that go across the mountaintop. It's a beautiful picture. The psalmist looks up to the mountains or the hills. He says, where does my help come from? And he says, the Lord, the one who made that. The one who made that, that is where my help comes from. The maker of heaven, the maker of earth, and all that's in between. Immovable, except by the one who by a word said, be, and it be. Fantastic and unbelievable. God's ability to keep his word when he says, I will keep you, and all these things that we read before, I will keep you from sun and moon. I will keep your going out and coming in. God's ability to keep his word, we can bank on because he created with a word. He has that sort of power. God is a keeper. That's my first point. God is a keeper. He's a creator who keeps. He creates and then he keeps it. And the sense of that word keep in the original language is more of guarding, watching over intently. So you see, keeping their flocks by night, shepherds, right? They keep in the sense that if something comes around to harm them, they're going to bring out the big stick and they're going to whack it, right? They are guarding their sheep. They are bringing them into a place where they will be fed and they will be watered. They will be kept, right? But also protecting them from harm, guarding them, watching over them diligently. And the psalmist says here, from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber, nor will he sleep. So God is a keeper. God is a keeper of Christians. Second point, God is a keeper of Christians. So we know who is God. He's a keeper. Who does he keep? He keeps Christians. It says in verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God keeps his people together, us, right? We know that those who are in Christ by faith, we are the new Israel. Not Israel that were born from a Jewish heritage necessarily, but those who were born just by believing in Jesus, now we are adopted into the family of faith. Just as good as a son of God as anyone born of Jewish descent, right? By faith, we are Israel. God keeps his people together. He keeps his church. But verse 5 says, the Lord is your keeper. Your keeper. He keeps Israel, he keeps God's people, but then he keeps you, and you, and you, and you, and me. He keeps us individually. He keeps Christians. We who are in Christ have been created. New creations. We have been bought, and now God will keep us. Jesus laid down his life so that no one, I alluded to this in my prayer earlier, so that no one could snatch us out of the Father's hand. And I think we understand that in part, we never really will fully understand that until we reach glory. The beauty of the fact that the Son of God gave his life so that we would never have to fear being snatched away. And so often when we fall into temptation and doubt and fear and a sense of distress in this world, it's easy for us to look other places, to look elsewhere for relief, for comfort, for assurance, whether it's our bank account or talking to a friend. My coworker came to me because she just wanted another person to say something to her. She wanted something to hold on to. And I think so often we look for, I mean, we can even Google. We can look at Google or Yahoo Answers, other things that just make me feel better about this rash. Make me think that it's not cancer. I'm not going to die from this thing here or whatever it may be. We look a lot of places for comfort. How often do we really think about the fact that Jesus saved our souls with his own blood? The maker of heaven and earth himself took on flesh, something that is physical, that was made, right? That was knit in a womb and laid it down so that we wouldn't have to worry about being snatched. So that we could say, I bank my hope on this, that I am kept. The most important part of me, which is my soul, is kept, is guarded until the day of Christ Jesus. When I face temptation, I want to think about that, not about what other ways out of this threatening situation or distress or unhappiness or sense of inadequacy or crying child, right? thinking about my salvation, about what the maker of heaven and earth has done for me, that is real comfort in distress. That is real comfort in sorrow. God keeps Christians comprehensively. He says, verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. Who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God's keeping of you in Christ is not temporary. And it's not just part of you, like part of your life, that God keeps your church part, or God keeps your health part, or God keeps your salvation to come way down the road part. The maker of heaven and earth, if you're in Christ, by his blood, by the work of Jesus, keeps you from all evil, night, day, here, there, going out, coming in, living, dying, the whole way, he keeps. He keeps you. He keeps us comprehensively. God keeps Christians comprehensively. Now, this does mean extremes, and I think often we think extremes. The way God keeps us comprehensively prepares us for radical obedience. And I think often I tend to think of God as a keeper, like if I'm ever called to the mission field where my life is in danger, I know that I don't have anything to worry about because God is my keeper and my guard, right? And even if they slay me, I can bless him and my soul is going to heaven. I think it's very easy to us to think, well, if we were in persecution, or if I were to have some kind of catastrophic illness, catastrophic loss, where God will keep me through the worst things possible, the extremes. And it's great that God does that because it frees us for radical obedience. You have no excuse not to be radically obedient to the Lord. Because if he calls you to inner city ministry, cross-cultural ministry, ministry to that crazy relative who just might shoot you. I mean, it's possible. Extremes. God keeps us in the extremes. Most of us don't live there, though. Most of us live in the everyday. And for me, it's easy to think God keeps us in extremes when there's glory and honor to be won doing great things for him. And I lose sight of the fact that God says, I want to keep you when you're in traffic tomorrow. I want to keep you when your kid is up all night vomiting, crying, whatever it is, right? I want to keep you when you feel like an absolute failure. And you're going like this, trying to get through the laundry to find your bed, right? Or trying to find a clean dish in the cupboard because you just haven't gotten to it. And you feel about this big. And you think, man, I wish I were just in some terrible situation so I could remember that the blood of Jesus is keeping me from all harm. And what the Lord wants to say is, well, that's not exactly what I said. What I said was, when you wake up in the morning to when you lay your head down at night, from the moment you became a Christian and as a newborn babe to the moment you take your very last breath, all of it, I'm keeping you from all harm. So what does that mean? It means that if you have that problem, if you go through that struggle, that toil, whatever it might be, it's not for your evil. God doesn't mean struggles for your bad. It's easy for us to think God meant maybe this sickness, this trouble, this great sorrow. He's going to use it for good. It's impossible for us most of the time to think that the challenge of making it through a basic day is God saying, I'm working this for your good. Don't feel like a failure if you are a scaredy cat to share the gospel on an average day. It's an average day. God is going to keep you through that. If you're having a bad day and you snap at your wife, and now there's trouble, discord, right? God wants to say, just look at me now. Look at me now. Don't wait for something awful to happen. I am your keeper. Look at me now, right? Look up to the hills, the one who made heaven and earth. God wants to keep us in the everyday. A couple points of application. We'll close. This is a simple song. It's a psalm. It's a song of ascent. People sang this thing, right? My encouragement to you, I don't know if you can find this set to music. The beautiful thing about music and the awful thing about music is it gets stuck. Terrible, right? We're coming up on Christmas and you're going to hear it, right? That Beatles song is that Christmas song they play every hour on the hour on 93.3, right? Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Christmas songs get stuck in your head. Songs get stuck in your head. Why not, for a couple of days this week, why not let Psalm 121 be that song that gets stuck in your head, right? It was given as a gift to us to be there when we're not even expecting it. That's the thing about songs. Brushing your teeth, boom, song is there. In traffic, boom, song. Where did that come from? I don't know. It's stuck in my head. Why can't the Bible be like that for us and give us truth that helps us get through, telling us the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your protector, your shade at night, during the day, all around, the one who made heaven and earth. A couple ways to do this. A simple song to help you sleep soundly, okay? Help you sleep soundly. If you're like me, often nighttime can be rough because it's that time when you're not doing stuff and then your brain goes into overload mode, right? And you try to get everything done before you even wake up in the morning, right? The beautiful thing about Psalm 121 is it says God doesn't sleep, which means you can, right? God isn't sleeping. Go ahead and sleep. Your keeper, the one who made heaven and earth, who is keeping your soul, who is working every aspect of the day ahead and all it has to offer you, good and bad, is going to keep you when you wake up. And he is awake at night, and he is watching after you and yours. So let this simple song help you sleep soundly. If that means you got to read it a few times and let it be in your mind, good, do that. Also, this simple song should help you hunger for heaven. Read Psalm 120, read Psalm 121. Look at distress, the threats, right, that are there. And allow the Lord saying, I'm going to keep you, to help you hunger for heaven. When finally all of our sorrows, all of our tests, all of our worries, all the distress, all going to be put away, right? And then God's keeping will look like just being with him forever. Don't let the things that threaten you, whether it's a sink full of dirty dishes or an aggravating younger brother or whatever those things may be, push you away. We want those to set our sights on the Lord, right? Just like the people of Israel were singing about being along in the city of distress with lying tongues and violence. And they say, oh, I long to be out of here. I want to be with the Lord. I'm setting my sights on going to worship. I pray that if you get cut off from traffic in the morning or you have difficulty, immediately you would think, I just want to be in heaven, right? The Lord is going to keep me till I get there. And may the Lord stir up a desire for obedience and a lasting peace in our hearts as we contemplate that great blessing. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks again for your word. We pray that you would allow your word to teach us going forward. We are imperfect and we live in a world that's full of sorrow and we need help. And we thank you that you are clear about where we get that. And you are very clear about what Christ has done to secure your favor and your blessing. And we pray we would fall in rest into your arms. We would roll our burdens off of ourselves and onto you. We pray we would recognize that if we believe, you will keep us to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.